Welcome to Faye's Knowledge. If you're interested in learning about business, marketing, and personal development, this podcast is just for you. And I say it's just for you because in order to fail, we have to be willing to try. And once you try to do things for yourself, now you're learning and gaining the experience for yourself, which turns into knowledge. So this is the right podcast for you if you're looking for business, marketing, and personal development information, because now you have a chance to learn from others that have been through what you're currently going through or currently having experience, and this is the place for you to grow and develop to help become the best version of yourself. Subscribe to this podcast, and if you really enjoyed towards the end, leave a comment on your biggest takeaway from this specific episode, so that way we can deliver more content, more audio, more videos that can not only help you in your journey but can help propel you. And by propel, I'm actually saying that can help grow and push you forward in your journey. Again, welcome to Failure's Knowledge. Enjoy this episode, and please don't forget to subscribe and wait towards the end and leave a comment about this specific video, your biggest takeaway from this.
So I went to film school and left film school and didn't really know what to do. I knew some basics of business before this. The hardest thing for me was the confront of doing it, because it's not fun.
What does failure is knowledge mean to you?
That it's okay to fail, as long as you learn.
Jake, thank you again for coming on to the Faye's Knowledge Podcast. I just got one question for you. Why Creative Minds?
Well, for me, it was kind of, you could say, born out of slight necessity and no other, what apparently in my world was no other option. So I went to film school and left film school and didn't really know what to do as a filmmaker. And I started growing my own social media really quickly, and then kind of became like a social media guy, even though, like, and I fought the label for a long time. And from there, it just kind of naturally evolved from being like a freelancer to then like, well, let me just start my own agency to, and then thus, you know, a decade plus of doing Creative Minds.
A decade plus. Man, when I was doing research on you, I think it said something about, hello, you said it, something said something about 2009.
I mean, I graduated high school in
2009. However that time frame is, I saw something, but anywho, the fact that you understood that you went to school for film, which is creative, and then you understand like creative can become a business. One thing that I've learned.
That was a journey. That was not easy. That is still the journey.
Okay. Elaborate. How is that still the journey?
I mean, so I'm very fortunate. Both my parents are artists. And so they're not particularly like entrepreneurially focused. So their big lesson was always just get really great at the craft. Focus on the craft. And however, my youngest brother, call it divine, I don't know, call it something, is a naturally gifted entrepreneur. Like he, out of everybody in the family, and I got a large family, he is the natural entrepreneur. And, you know, he was starting to make a lot of money part-time in college shooting videos. And even worse, he didn't know anything about video. His camera settings were on auto, and I'm there, the broke, you know, starving artist. And I realized he was a business major. And that was kind of what, one of the big kind of foundational blocks that pushed me into like, oh, if I'm going to do this, I got to learn business. So then I basically went to my own business. I went to the, you know, business school of YouTube University and, you know, studied Grant Cardone, Gary Vaynerchuk. I mean, you kind of name it, you know, the Audible was full of just entrepreneurial books and courses and learning everything I could to be an entrepreneur, but always with the kind of the guiding star of this kind of like, well, I know video, so let me make money doing video.
That's exactly where I was about to get to, because like the skill, to give you some backstory on me, like I produce over 893 podcast episodes, half a decade worth of content, half a decade of learning what's good, what's bad. I did a podcast the other day and I got three lights, one right here, one behind me. And I literally showed when I turn this light off, there's a shadow. When I turn it back on there, as you know, but then that's the skill behind it. Yeah. But that's not the business. The business is sales. The business is marketing. The business is finances. The business is legal. The business is team development or team development slash personal development. When you start to learn business, was it overwhelming for you to understand that your skill can become a business, or was it just like, man, I don't know nothing they talking about?
I mean, I knew the core of what they were talking about instinctually. Like I knew, you know, it comes down to a handful of, you know, I knew some basics of business before this, but the hardest thing for me was the confront of doing it. 'Cause it's not fun. Right. Like a buddy of mine who's super successful entrepreneur gives this analogy every time he does a business seminar. He talks about the car mechanic who looks at the boss making more money than him. And he's like, I'm the best car mechanic here. Screw this guy. I'm out of here. I'm going to start my own shop. Only to realize the boss was handling sales, marketing, payroll, HR. Handling the lease, handling like all of the other stuff, finance, that he didn't have to deal with. So it's a different job. You can be the best technician. And that was the consistent shift of and the balance for me is being a great technician, because I see other guys who've expanded their business, you could say faster than me, based off of pure technician, being a great, great filmmaker and being a great photographer. But they will get capped. There's a point where, because they're getting hired because of them. And there's only so many hours in the day, jobs you can take. And also there's a price ceiling. You can only charge so much. And I've seen it at the top level. And compared to if you run a business, but if you run a business, you're not going to be in the technical space. You're going to work yourself out of technical and hire people into technical. And so it's the balance of those two. And that's what I've been on the journey of.
And I appreciate you sharing that with me, because as I was doing research, there are a lot of similarities that we have. And in addition to that, you mentioned somebody, his name is Grant Cardone. And in 2022, bro, I went to this event. And that's when I was in the Marine Corps, and I was stationed down there, and my base was Camp Pendleton, but it was in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Man, they must have put an ad out. I signed up for it, went to the event. Grant Cardone came, talked to everybody, and then when he got done talking, he stood in the back. He interrupted whoever was talking. He was like, guys, I just want y'all to know, this room alone, there's over $1.7 billion. I said, what kind of room am I in? Bro, when it was like a mind-blowing event, because they broke down what business consisted of. And when you go from being the creative, being the technician, to being the manager, shout out to the book E-Myth Mastery, if I'm not mistaken, E-Myth Mastery or E-Myth Revisit or something like that. But they say when you know the skill, it's hard to like pull yourself out from doing the skill. So how did you learn how to not only work on your business, but develop systems, checklists, processes, and a way of doing business?
I mean, just studying. There's studying and figuring it out. I mean, there's no way. I mean, the simplicity in terms of like what I would recommend to somebody, is look at your time. Look at what you're spending your time on that you could delegate. I was just going over with a friend. It's just like, you know, what actions are you repeating every week, every day, that even if it's an hour of your time, can you delegate that? Or depending on how much money you make an hour, like look at how much money you make an hour and go, okay, great. If I'm doing this task, can I pay somebody less? Like, let's say you make $35 an hour and you're doing something that, you know, costs $15 an hour. Can you pay somebody $15 an hour, but not take a vacation, not go hang out and, you know, watch TV, but work that extra hour and you'll make that $20 arbitrage. Like, it's just looking at those different nuances of like, okay, great. You know, there's like my wife, she loves to cook, but I have to go like sometimes and just kind of go, hey, hon, we need to like Uber Eats or order in and lock in right now, because it's more worth it for us to not take the 2 hours to cook and clean and just order, spend the extra $10, $15 or whatever it is, and get those couple of more things done. And it's like those little things, they do add up, but you have to make sure to use your time effectively.
And you're speaking on someone who has the experience, because you say you have to educate yourself. You say you watch YouTube videos, go to courses and learn the language of business. And then you understand how to put it into your own business. That's understandable. But it seems like when you watch the content, it's different than applying the content. And then as you apply it, you start to gain the different experiences that will help you. What's the terminology? Have better business acumen, become a better business owner. And as you're doing that, you start to see things differently. At least for me, I start to see things differently. Yes, the skill, the know-how is important. But if I'm not identifying what matters, why I'm doing it, and the problem I'm solving consistently, it's like, man, I'm wasting my time.
Yeah. And right now, because education is so widely available, it's more widely available than it ever has been in human history, that people consume a lot of content rather than doing. Like, I mean, if you think about like, I mean, shit, like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, in the scheme of history, you know, a grain of sand, you used to have to go to a library, check out a book or read it there, go through the entire book or through whatever chapter to find that information so that you can learn and then go apply it. Like, you couldn't just consume. And so now, like, I try to very much not just like consume content. Like everybody else, I'm not perfect. But like, look at I try to audit myself and I go, what is the problem I'm running into? And let me just find a piece of content about that content. Or I know I'm just consuming content, you know, an Alex Hormozi or whatever, to like, okay, great. I'm going to put this in the storage banks so that I can come back to it when I do have that problem. You know, I don't run a $100 million business, but can I glean a piece of information from it that might help me now or in 6 months, 12 months, 3 years, 5 years from now? And so it's just kind of understanding when I'm taking in knowledge, what is the purpose of it? Am I just kind of learning to like, oh, this is kind of interesting? Or am I actually trying to solve a very specific problem? Like, I mean, like AI right now, trying to just stay on top of AI and just know where it's going and how to best utilize it all.
And again, we have a lot of similarities. Like what you're saying, bro, you've been doing Creative Minds for a decade. I've been doing Phase Knowledge for half a decade. And like it's the reps that matter. It's the reps that really helps you understand what you're doing. You talked about, well, I asked the question in regards of applying the information. With Creative Minds, what was your biggest failure?
Not continuing. So yes, I started this a decade ago, but I've shut it down three times.
How many?
Three.
Okay.
Because I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to be a filmmaker. I didn't want to start an agency. I didn't want to be a marketing guy. When you're in a space, you end up finding and meeting other people in the space. Doctors meet a lot of doctors. Dentists meet a lot of dentists. Lawyers meet lawyers. And I looked at the marketing guys around me and I was like, I don't want to be a marketing guy. I looked at the Grant Cardone and Gary, like a Gary V. I'm like, I don't want to be a Gary V. I'm a filmmaker. I want to make movies. I want to be a Christopher Nolan, a J.J. Abrams, you know. I'm like, that's the crowd I want to be with. And so multiple times I just shut everything down. I had made enough money that I could just kind of walk away from it. And I didn't have systems built in. It was kind of like a glorified freelancer at the time. Different times, different situations, different things. But each of them just being like, yeah. So that was the hardest thing. And to restart it multiple times was an interesting journey.
That's, and the reason why I asked that, because again, people don't see the journey. People don't see what you go through.
Yeah.
You have to stop, why it's considered a failure. Mm-hmm. I read this book and it was called, it was by John Johnson, but it was like an advertising book. And in the book, he explained, it was like back in the day, like 1930s when segregation was going on. But this man, he was a black man, but he was getting into advertising and he had magazines. And when he was trying to make a name for himself, he couldn't make a name for himself because the odds were stacked against him. But even though the odds were stacked against him, he still found a way to put himself out there creatively. And then what you just mentioned as far as like stopping many times, like how I mentioned that I produce over 893 podcast episodes. That's a lot of episodes. But in the grand scheme of everything, you know how many times I stopped doing all of that and trying to figure out what I wanted to do, why I'm doing a particular thing. The marketing, that's the language behind it. But the process, the development, the time that took, man, it's, oh man. So I definitely understand why you had to stop. So when you, for the last time that you stopped, for the third time that you stopped, how did you recognize like, wait, hold on. Okay, I know what I'm doing. I have the skill. But now I just need to stop stopping. How did you recognize you need to stop doing that?
I mean, a couple of different things. I went through a lot of spiritual and mental, enhancement and handling that and what was stopping me. So that was a big part of it. And then really looking at the goals and I adjusted the agency to fulfill a little bit more of a, like, I just listened to the mentors more, niche down and like follow. I'm like, I like to shoot. And I devoided myself. I'm like, okay, great. If this agency, if I'm not going to be the technician, well, what's a niche that they can pay high that like, again, checked off the boxes. And I just went, okay, great. And I just adjusted the goals and I looked at, okay, great. This is not, because it was a piece of advice a mentor gave to me right out of film school, which was, if you want to direct movies, keep a cam in your hand, get paid to practice. And so that was kind of a guiding light, but it was also a bit, he didn't explicitly say his journey, like he did any whatever. But my point was, there was a little bit of a shift of mindset. And it's something that I bring up when I get on podcasts and whatnot at times, because when I got into entrepreneurship, as you're probably going to have this exact same experience and you're going to nod along and smile, is that when you go to a lot of these kind of entrepreneurial conventions, they talk about it's 80% mindset, 20% tactical. And I was like, I don't know if we're allowed to curse on this, but insert curse word, you, right? And I was like, what are you talking about? No, it's not. It's tactical. Give me the exact steps of what I need to do and I will just execute. And they'd be like, no, you got to get in the right mindset. You got to get mindset. And I hate to be that guy. It's freaking mindset. But it's not just like, I can believe in myself. It's like, okay, understanding what do you want from it? Understanding where you're going with it. And so like, I just shifted the mindset of what did I want from the agency? And what did I want from the business? Okay, I want to grow it to this size. I want to sell it. I want to, you know, expand. And it doesn't need to creatively fulfill me. I'm going to do these projects to creatively fulfill me and grow that business on its own. And they're just two different ventures. They don't need to be one in the same. And like that clicked in addition to some of the other things I was doing. And there you go.
It's funny you just mentioned something about mindset, bro. In 2022, I went through a divorce. In August of 2022, I went through a divorce. March of 2023, the divorce finalized. January of 2023, I wrote a book. And it's called Master Your Mind, 10 Tips to Shift Your Mindset. Like you mentioned earlier, a lot of people talk about mindset. But why is mindset so important? And man, it became cliche because everybody was saying it. Like, bro, why are y'all saying it? What does that even mean? Yeah. And it can't be the mindset because I'm a positive person. When I started back in, you see what I'm saying? Wait, bro.
It's like, you know, yeah, you know, I'm positive. I think big. I'm like, I got the right mindset. And it's like, and I think there's like, we need to figure out like a different word for it. Because it's not just like positive thinking and, you know, positive visualization. It's not that. It's having the right mental plan and strategy. And like, it's a different definition, you could say, of mindset. And yeah.
With the right confidence, with the right level of education, with the right level of understanding, with the right level of implementation. Mm-hmm. See, it's not the fact, because I was in this program, it's called Action Zone, so a veterans program that help veterans start their business from ideal concept to growing their business. And that was like, if you're trying to serve everybody, you're serving no one. But I'm like, who is the someone to serve? I'm like, you said something about Nietzsche that made me think about that.
And it's the same thing, because I was like, look, I can shoot videos for anybody. And I have shot videos for anybody. And because of that, my business didn't grow as fast and struggled to grow. Because I really saw firsthand was people went, oh, you do that. And I'm like, no, I do, but I do that too. And I got known for different things, and like, even to the point, which was like, this will make you laugh. So 2 year and a half ago, whatever, a little bit ago, I was doing a lot of corporate gigs, which was fine. I was paying bills. It was doing well, but I was so creatively unfulfilled. And so I said, screw it. Let's double down. And I made 14 short films in 4 months with my wife. And I started putting them out. And then somebody on Facebook or something was like, I'm looking for like a videographer, blah, 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 whatever. And I got tagged a bunch in it. And I was like, hey, what's up? What, you know, anything I can help you with? And he's like, oh, don't you just make short films? I was like, first of all, I'm paying to make those. I'm not getting paid in any means to make those. And it's the same skill. And so it was just like, you are, and this is like one of the things that I talk about. So you are known by what you post. And like, that is your brand. And so it's like, if you associate with, and you just keep posting, and this was something I tell entrepreneurs, it's like, know what you're posting. Like, if you're just posting like your kids, you're just going to be known as a parent. If you're just posting food, you're going to be known as a foodie. But if you're posting about this your education on your niche, you're going to be known for that niche. So just know what you're posting about.
And that is great advice. Like I mentioned earlier, we have similar, very similar journey. And because okay, whenever people see a camera, they think you do videography, as you know. Man, I go to some of these events because I'm there to help. I'm there to support, whatever the case is. I literally take my camera out, record. And then later on, they'd be like, do you do videography? I'm like, no. Nah. I'm like, why you keep saying that? No, I don't do that. But I do, at the time, it was like advertising, social media, whatever the case is. It was just like, well, I just saw you do videographer for this person. And I'm like, no, no, that's not what I want to do. Because then when you do that, people want you to record different things, different places. You want to, no, I'm not doing that. Bro, it literally took me a long time to identify that it's around podcasting. The podcast production is what I do. And I just recently got more clear behind it. And that's why I say, like, our paths are very similar, because just because you're creative, people start to see you differently. They start to see from what you don't want to be known as. They see you from what you're posting, to your point. And when you're posting something that a lot of people, quote unquote, think that you're doing, that's what they go reach you out. I want to go off script right quick. And let's just say I'm new to entrepreneurship. I'm new to podcasts. I'm new to like being creative. And I come to Jay. I find him online, see him doing his thing, see him posting about helping others build their brand through podcasting. And like, I have some interest in that. What are three tips that you can give me to get started today?
In terms of somebody who's wanting to create an agency or just an entrepreneur, or just define who I'm talking
say,
to a little
let's
bit.
Say, let's say an agency.
Okay.
Essentially the same thing that you're doing. I want to do it.
Don't do it. I'm just kidding. Three tips I would give. It's gonna, well, again, it's fuck. It's mindset shit, man. It's, you know, it's going to take a lot more work than you know. Learn to market, learn promotion and marketing of your own agency and how to get clients. Don't worry about sale. I'm going to just kind of, and this kind of goes hand in hand with this middle one, which is learn to market. Don't worry about sales, because you'll learn sales by doing sales calls. So you can learn sales. Like if you study sales, that doesn't help if you don't have people to do sales calls with. So learn to market, you'll learn sales through doing selling. But then on the delivery side, focus on delivering as fast as possible, like as good as possible, but like good as possible with as fast as possible. Like get fast at responding to emails, get fast at responding back to clients. You shoot, don't be like, oh, okay, great. It'll take, you know, 7 to 10 days. See if you could get a turnaround in 24 hours. Like the delivery speed is so important. So I would do that. Like those would be kind of the three things that I would say.
So marketing, have sales calls, and the delivery.
Yeah. So I mean,
sales and tying into the marketing.
Well, the first one is it's going to just take a lot more work than you expect. Second is focus on marketing and like knowing how to get clients, like knowing how to reach prospects, like define your prospect really well and know how to at least get them engaged to get on a sales call. Don't worry about learning sales. Worry about, because it's better to take 100 sales calls and not know sales, and you'll learn it by 100 doing. Like if you know how to get 10 calls a day, that's more important than knowing how to close a person and not have any calls on your board. Like you want, you know, 20 calls on your board every day. Like if you can master that skill, it's arguably the greatest skill out there in the world, is to be able to have a full calendar of sales calls. Increase your close rate, or get somebody who's really good at closing and selling and pay them a commission in any field. So, and then speed of delivery. So those are the three.
And I appreciate you for sharing that. That shows your expertise, not just from a book. You said it would be better for you to make 100 calls. I thought you were going to say it would be better for you to make 100 calls than read 100 books. I was going to be like, ooh, that's hard. That's hard.
Well, that too. I mean, literally, like if you don't, I'll be blunt right now. If you just take those three things and you don't study a damn book anymore, and or if the only thing you study is how to market, because speed of delivery, okay, that's fine. You just stay up, burn the midnight oil and just go, get it done, or figure out ways to make it faster. But if you just study how to get clients, and mainly not even get clients, but like get prospects. How do you get prospects and people lined up and that are interested, that are willing to take a call? Willing to like go, hey, sure, I'll take 30 minutes and out of my day because I'm kind of interested in what you said. You know, like once I started figuring out how to get cold emails, for me, cold emails, but I've tried everything. Like I worked with Travis Matthew, for example, one of the big golf brands, through a cold DM on Instagram. I mean, it was 5 cold DMs over a period of 4 months, but that's how I got Travis Matthew as a client, which then because of them, I had Callaway. Somebody from Travis Matthew then went over to Callaway, then they brought me over to Callaway. So if you can learn how to do outreach that is successful, that's all where it starts. So just understand marketing. That's the, like, know your craft good enough to deliver a good product, but just market.
And that's so important to even have a business, bro. I'm in this program. It's called the Spartan Incubator Program here in Tampa, Florida. Mm-hmm. And one of my mentors, I was talking to him and I was like, well, I'm not able to close the clients right now. Like, I'm able to get them there. They stay on the training for an hour. They communicate, they ask the questions, but I'm not able to close them. I can figure out the closing part later, but to get the people here, I'm going to figure that part out. Mm-hmm. I don't need to figure out how to get them there. I just need to figure out how to close. And now that I figured out how to close better, more people just going to keep coming through. I saw on the website that your delivery, it's crazy that you said something about delivery. It's 7 days. Like your turnaround is 7 days. And through the creative minds that you delivered the turnaround, why is that delivery so important to be fast?
Look at Amazon. 2-day shipping.
Oh, good example.
biggest company in the world, or one of the biggest companies in the world. Why is AI beating out Google right now? You can get more information faster. Speed will always win. Speed will always win. And like Alex Ramosi talks about it, it's like if you're starting a business and you want to just beat your customers, offer the exact same thing for the exact same price or more, and just do it faster. You'll close clients. If your competitor does it in 30 days, do it in 14. If they do it in 14, do it in 24 hours, in 48 hours. Charge more than your, but people, because people will want it faster. Like, for example, like you produce a podcast. Give me define your business a little bit more for me.
Absolutely. Now that I'm more clear behind that, I'm actually like updating the, I recently got my S corp and incorporated and stuff like that. But the business model is helping real estate developers build their brand through podcasting.
Amazing. So, you know, do you produce the podcast for them?
Yes. All they have to do, sit down and record, and we take care of everything after they stop recording.
Amazing. So, you know, if you turn around their episode, I'm just going to call you out right now because I work in the same space. But if you were able to turn around their long form in 24 hours, which you know is doable, hey, you record it, that night will get you the long form. Like how they go, rather than other companies, oh, we'll take 7 days. You want to beat a competitor, just do it faster. Hey, we have a 48-hour guarantee. So my point is, and then you're quite great. The shorts and whatever will take longer. But like, if you are able to get it in 48 hours to them every time, and that's where, to go back to an earlier question of systems and whatnot. Okay, great. How do we build this roadmap where we know we can deliver the stuff quickly? So, okay, great. The shooter goes in, edits it, And so we always book out. We never book two clients back to back. So we don't have like, great, you're on Monday and then you're on Tuesday, because the next day is always editing. And so it's little things like that that allow you to expand faster and, you know, win.
You've been able to help a lot of people. Is that the same process, steps, systems that you use for your business as well? Or not necessarily for your business, but for your, what is it called? Yeah, for your business as well. Like what you do for other people, do you do that for yourself as well?
Not as well as I should. Not as well as I should. I mean, again, I'm just being blunt and not putting on a good face, but I'll just be honest. You know, I'm much better at it. I have now, there was a time where I was doing social media for others and I wasn't doing anything for me. I now have consistent social media going out. And I am launching my own podcast soon. And, but you know, you focus so much on others that it's, you know, gotta, what pieces are going to drive the most for me right now. And, you know, you focus on different things at different times in your stage of business.
Okay. So that was the way I asked the question was a good question, but the way you answered it helped me clarify the question.
Okay.
And reason why I asked it is because one thing that I've learned, especially, so when I started in, doing what I was doing, real estate, but I didn't have no experience prior to me doing it. So I was learning on the go and trying to figure out everything. And so whenever I come in a conversation, people are talking about the house, the roof, the leaks, the after repair value. Yeah, I can learn that, but I had no history behind it. And now fast forward, when I got more niche behind the audience, it's real estate developers, because of the industry that I was already in prior to this. Now that you notice that, well, you mentioned that you have the consistent brand online. How did you notice, like, okay, hold on, I'm growing their business, I'm growing their brand, but mine is like declining because all my time and energy is going to my clients. Not to say that's bad, but it's like, well, how do you balance helping your clients just as much as you're helping yourself?
I mean, I think I feel like as I help my clients more, my business expands more. I'm able to put more time and energy in, you know, I make sure to price it correctly so that I can expand. Like if you're underpriced, that's what's going to happen. Like if you're, I'm going to make up numbers right now, but like if you're charging $1,000 to do something and it costs you $800 to do it and you're only making $200, it's hard to reinvest $200. But if you're charging $10,000, again, making up numbers, and it costs you $4,000 to do something, you have that $6,000 to now reinvest to expand the business, whether it's get better gear and you know, and from an agency standpoint of like what we're talking about, like so that you can create better products so people go, whoa, wow, look at what he's making. Or great, I'm going to put an extra $2,000 into marketing now, you know, or I'm able to pay 15% commission to my sales guys instead of 10. And so they're going to work a little harder, or I can get a better person because they were like, this guy wanted 15, but he's better. He knows his worth and I couldn't hire him, but now I can. So it's like these little things that like, you know, if you're priced appropriately, you can do that. And because the more I do this, the more I realized like money is, it's all arbitrary. I mean, you really look at like, if people want something, they'll figure out the money. That's why credit cards exist, to be blunt. That's why credit, like, look at the amount of people you probably know, I know I know, that buy luxury goods that can't afford it, that they're broke as hell. But they got Louis Vuitton, Gucci, driving a BMW, and you're like, dude, you owe me $9 still on Venmo. Hit me up with that. But they make it go right because because they want it. So they'll put it on a credit card and they'll figure out the payments and whatever. So, and that's where it comes down to the brand and salesmanship and getting in front of them. It's like, if your offer and yours, and you just sell them well enough, it just comes down to that.
Pricing is another thing. For me being in business, and when Grant Cardone said $1.7 billion in the room, bro, I'm literally looking at people who's making a lot of money. And the pricing can be very limited if you understand why you're pricing it this way. That's another mindset issue. That's another, Well, I don't want to charge too much. I don't want to charge too less. And but the value is there. The experience is there. You're not just getting something for nothing. You're getting something for value. Your value has been established for the last decade. Was it difficult for you to increase your prices because your value has improved?
No, I've never had a problem charging a lot of money. Now, it's very interesting. There was a service of mine that I was selling, and a buddy of mine was like, up your prices. And I got a little, but he was rolling with a crowd that was charging that amount. And he was working with an agency that does charge another zero on these things. And my size of agency isn't nearly where that agency is at. And I felt a little funny. And he's like, these other guys are doing it. Just do it. I'm like, okay. But you gotta, and that's the, like, you gotta be around those people where it becomes normal. Like, I was just in New York. I live in LA, and you know, you see money in LA, but like, it was a different vibe in New York. You see the skyscrapers and you go like, these are like, what? Like, this is money here. And just, and that's where that mindset stuff that we've been talking about comes in. And it's just a mindset of being like, yeah, okay, this is what it costs. And this is what it's worth. Like, and knowing, okay, great. Like, what you're going to do with it, how you're going to help people. And like, if you can understand how it's justified, the price, you know, like, how is it linked? How does price not become an option? Like, for example, with yours, right? Like, where it's not an objection in the sale, from like, if we're talking like from like sales lingo, where you look at like, okay, hey, one podcast, I don't know what it costs for you, but like, how, if it helps them close another deal, how much is a deal worth to them versus a podcast episode? Or how many podcast episodes can equate to one deal, which how much then is a deal worth to them? And how much is, let's say it costs them 10 podcast episodes. Every 10 podcast episodes, they'll close a deal, roughly. Great. How much does 10 podcast episodes cost? How much does one deal make them? There's still a massive profit. Great. And that's where like going after the right niche, going after like pricing it correctly, et cetera. Because I know people who've lost out on gigs, especially in the creative field, because they've been priced too low. You know, they're like, yeah, we'll do this commercial. It'll be like $30,000. Sounds like a lot of money. And they got passed on it. And they asked why. They're like, well, we actually went with this other company that was $150,000 for the commercial. Because we $30,000, like, Are you going to come with the right cameras? Are you going to come with the right, we don't know if it's going to be good enough for $30,000. Like it's, that's the going, oh, what is the norms of this? What, like, it's all of those. And again, that's where it's mindset. That's the mindset stuff. And just the confidence. And like, so many people talk about this. You know, I've seen videos from Steve Harvey to Grant Cardone to Gary, like you name it, who are like, just go to richer neighborhoods. Like if you're an entrepreneur and you're on the hustle, like go to rich neighborhoods, spend the $12 on an expensive coffee and, you know, spend $20 on a coffee at a gorgeous hotel and be around money. Even if you're like, dude, that hurts to spend $20 on a freaking coffee. But that's when you understand $20 on a coffee means nothing to these people. And like, you start going around those people where you go, and it's not just like, oh, go to, you know, the private airport and see the jet. That's great and all. But like, walk in. Like, for example, we went to, like, in New York, I went to the Louis Vuitton store. I didn't buy anything. It was $4,000 jackets. I'm not buying a $4,000 jacket. It was gorgeous. But I'm walking around and you see the level of service. There was somebody who walked through the entire store with me. A concierge. I'm nobody. Me and my wife, we ain't rich by any means. But that's what they, that's how they treated every single customer that walked into that store. Had a personal concierge kind of salesman that walked through there, offered me sparkling water. Like it's a luxury experience. Like you do that once or twice, you understand, okay, great. How can I make my business a luxury experience? How can I make my business so good? It could be lawn mowing. I'm not even talking like it needs to be, you need to sell luxury stuff, but how can you make working with your business a luxury experience? Thus, you can justify luxury prices.
Was that, what book was that in?
The Book of Jake. I don't know. That was just me.
No.
I'm sure there's a million people who've said it. I am definitely not by any means, you know, I've assimilated a lot of data from a lot of people.
The Book of Jake was the right answer because that's your experience. That, of course, I was being funny when I asked that question. Nonetheless, your experience helped you understand that, not from a book. And yes, you can write the Book of Jake because Jake has gained the experience. Jake has gained the knowledge. Jake has gained the understanding. But before you even do that, you have to do the work. And you've been doing the work and you can actually hear, like, this is why you should do this. This is why you should not do this because of your experience. Not because you try to be authority, because you lived it. You experienced it. And so I hear even though this second or third conversation, I hear the growth within you because you're confident in everything that you're talking about. So I got one last segment. And it's called Best for Last. And during this segment, I ask you four questions and you answer it within 30 seconds. You ready?
Yeah.
Question number one, what are you grateful for?
My wife, my family, and yeah.
Shout out to, I got a wife as well. I forgot to bring up multiple times. Question number two, do you have any regrets?
Many, but all right. What am I going to do? Move on. Keep going. Learn from it.
You live and learn.
Yeah. Like, okay, you got regrets. You can either live in that or you can go, all right, well, that sucked. I shouldn't have done that. I don't know. That's my mindset.
That's a good mindset. We talked about mindset a lot. Question number three. What's been your biggest takeaway while being the founder of Creative Minds?
Anything worth pursuing is a lot harder than you can ever imagine. Any goal that you want to achieve is a lot harder. But that's life.
I agree. And then last question, what does failure is knowledge mean to you?
Failure is knowledge. That's the line. Failure is knowledge. That it's okay to fail as long as you learn, you know, and you need to, yeah, you can fail as long as, you know, you're learning from it.
Man, Jake, this has been incredible. How can people find you? How can they learn more about Creative Minds? How can they connect with you?
LinkedIn is fantastic. Instagram, it works great. If you just kind of Google my name, search my name on any social platform, you'll probably see either marketing stuff, you'll see photography, you'll see filmmaking, any and all those channels are me. And so you can reach out on any of them.
Okay, good. I appreciate that. Before we go, before we end, is there anything that we did not cover that you would like to cover now?
No.
Okay, I appreciate it. So before we get off, one thing that I recently started doing is like towards the end of the conversation, we have to say our own quotes. Not a quote from a book, not a quote from someone else. It has to be our own quote. So I go first. Don't be afraid to fail, because you never know what that failure is going to teach you in order for you to gain the knowledge to grow.
Beautiful.
I appreciate it.
Mine's really simple. It's two words. Move faster. That's kind of my big mantra that I try to live by. It's just like, all right, move a little faster. And that whether it's getting out of bed and you're sitting there, if it's getting off the phone, if it's replying to that email, it's a simple mantra that, you know, you can move a little faster. And you see the top dogs, boy, do they move fast. There's not a lot of thinking. There's just a lot of going. And they just next. So move faster.
Jake, again, thank you for coming on to the Phase Knowledge Podcast. What was your biggest takeaway while being on the podcast?
Just the grace in which you were being a host and an interviewer. There's a skill in communication, and you do enough podcasts, you see some people have the skill and some people don't have the skill. And you had such a grace and an ability to host, ask great questions, really listen, and have great acknowledgements. And so I just wanted to, validate and thank you for that.
I appreciate that. And then last question, for someone that's hesitant to come on to the Phase Knowledge Podcast, what's one piece of advice that you can give them?
I mean, there's no reason to be nervous, no reason to be, hesitant on it. Terrell's a great host and it's a fun time. It's a good conversation. It's just like grabbing a coffee or a beer with a friend.